Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church, and welcome to episode 3 and the conclusion of our Perfect Fit message series. You know, over the last few weeks, we've looked at these special supernatural abilities that God gives to each of us so that together we can advance His purpose in the world. And you know what? As we discover and operate in these gifts in our daily lives, we're better equipped to live our lives on purpose. You know, last week I had the opportunity to attend a memorial service for one of our directors' father. Now, this man of God lived 97 long years, loving God and loving his people and serving as an Anglican minister. Such a wonderful legacy that now he leaves to his children, to his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. And it was a wonderful day to celebrate and to remember his life. You know, his son spoke, and he spoke of having to take care of some of his father's business after he passed. And so he was trying to pay some bills online and do some different things, and he found a book next to his dad's computer, and it had a list of all his passwords and all the many passwords that we need to access the things in our lives. And so there was some questions in it, like you're familiar with probably on some sites, to identify and verify that it's you who's trying to log in. You know, what's your favorite color? What's your mother's maiden name? What's your favorite book? But in answer to what is your favorite book, he answered with this, The Purpose-Driven Life, a book that maybe some of you are familiar with. But this book kind of captured the way he lived his life, to know his God and to serve his God. Everything he did was about that. As a matter of fact, it was such a wonderful thing to do. They gave a book of The Purpose-Driven Life, a copy of that book, to every person who attended. As a matter of fact, on the way out the door that day, I believe it was his great-grandson who handed me my copy. And what a great way to pass along something to those that he loved as a reminder to why we're here, why we're on the planet, the purpose that God has called us to. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him." See, it all starts with God. He created you with purpose and gifted you for a great purpose. And the key to fulfillment and fruitfulness in this life is using those God-given gifts to serve. It's that simple. It's to allow your life to be given as an offering to those around you. Now, this week has been a crazy week when it comes to weather in our region. And so I want to encourage you to continue to pray for those that have been affected by the storms. We're partnering with the City Dream Center to help bring relief and support to those who need it the most. But we know the challenges that many face, whether it was in the summer months with the fires or now with this season of flooding. Let's be praying, but not just pray. Let's do something. So if you want to give, go to calvary.ca/give, and you can donate towards assisting those that are in need as we partner with the City Dream Center to get those resources to the people that need them the most. Now, next Sunday, believe it or not, it's hard to believe, but we begin our Calvary Christmas experience. What? I know, right? It's hard to get your mind around the fact that Christmas is on our doorstep. This is really one of our favorite times of the year here at the church. And last year looked so unusual. We're looking forward to getting back to something that we're a little bit more familiar with. And our teams have been working very hard to make sure that this is a life-changing month that's coming up. And we also begin Advent next week. We've got an online devotional. We encourage you to be a part of that with us as we walk through it together. And I begin a brand new Christmas series called The King Has Come. So mark your calendar for the things that are coming. The month is going to be filled with festive events, including our grand celebration services on Sunday, December the 12th. We'll have all kinds of incredible music, and it'll be a wonderful time as we come together. And then, of course, our candlelight Christmas Eve family services that we'll be having. And so these are kind of the highlights of our Christmas season. And next Sunday, if you're here in the house, we will have invitations that are available for you to take as many as you need to invite your friends and your family. If you're watching our broadcast from home and you're in the area, feel free to stop by the church and pick some of those invitations up to invite people to join us either online or in person here at the church. And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful time. And next Sunday is also Baptism Sunday. So another reason to celebrate as we see people closing one chapter, opening up a new one, and just stepping into that new life that's in Christ. Now today is also step three of our new Next Steps class. And it's wonderful to see people young and old all growing in their faith together, all discovering their gifts together, and finding opportunities to use and walk in the power of those gifts. Because each of us are called to lift up and to expand the kingdom of God as we discover those things in our lives together. You know, every one of us is in the process of becoming somebody. And the journey is successfully kind of navigating to becoming me, or the person God's called me to be, is really tied closely to be understanding the value of the we component. That you and I we need to understand that we're so much better together. And our purpose is often realized in the context of community. You see, we are the master's grand design. Every gift, every color, every culture, we were all carefully crafted with this great purpose of eternal significance. We're molded and shaped by God to fit together, to be built together. Not to be alone in this life, but to be fit perfectly with those around us, so that we can understand that what we've been called to is something so much greater than we could ever accomplish on our own. You know, Ephesians 4, verse 16 says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. It helps them grow stronger, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." You know, within the church, he's fit us together perfectly so that when the storms of life roll in, that our purpose doesn't roll out. You know, as Christ followers, we're not exempt from hardship. It's the same storm that one experiences, so does the other. We all navigate these times together. And the truth is that when crisis comes, when storms come, whether they're real or the emotional storms that we face, some tend to weather those storms better. And it's because many have learned to lean in more to God and rely on His strength to be perfected in your weakness, and they come closer instead of allowing crises and storms to pull us further away from God. And you know what I've learned over the years? That sometimes you need to serve your way through a crisis. Sometimes you need to take your eyes off of what you're facing and understand that other people are going through things that sometimes are even more difficult. And you can be that difference maker to help serve them and love them through maybe some of the most difficult times in their lives. Now, some of you have probably heard this story before, but for those of you that are new, I will share it again. About 16 plus years ago, Susan and I and our two boys, we moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we came to Surrey in the month of April, just Susan and I, to meet with Pastor Gordon and Glenda to prayerfully consider whether we would join this team of leaders here at the church. And so when we came in that time of year, man, it was stunning, like absolutely beautiful. Sun was shining every day that we were here. Blue skies, you know, snow-capped mountains. It was like utopia. I mean, there wasn't a drop of rain the entire week that we were here. Now, when we came out of the hotel in the morning, we'll never forget this. We both took a big, deep breath. And Susan said to me, "What is that smell?" I said, "I think that's fresh air." I mean, coming from Toronto, you could notice the difference. It was this beautiful smell of fresh mountain air that seemed to be in the moment that we were standing in. Of course, the surroundings certainly helped all of that. And you know what? Pastor Gordon was so wonderful. He showed us around the city, showed us all the sights and how beautiful and amazing Vancouver was. And he talked to us about how livable the city was. And he shared his heart for the people of Surrey and the place where we are as a church. And he wasn't deceiving us into thinking that it was like this all the time. It was perfect. He actually said, you know, there are times when the gray skies roll in and the rain comes. But the truth is, when the sun comes out, you forget all about those days. And so when we finally decided to make the big move and pack everything up, our entire lives, and move west, the day we arrived, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. I am not exaggerating. It was dark and wet, and we were like, "Hey, what happened to all that beautiful sunshine that you promised us?" You know what? God doesn't promise us a life without rain or without stormy skies or gray skies, but he does promise that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, that he'll walk with us through maybe some of the darkest times that we'll ever face. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 43, verse 2, it says, "When you pass through the deep, stormy sea, you can count on me to be there with you." So no matter how dark it gets, he's with you. "And when you pass through those raging rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through persecution like fiery flames, you will not be burned. The flames will not harm you." Certainly our area can understand the significance of what it's like to face floodwaters and fire, how destructive it can be. But I've been so blessed to see how one neighbor is helping to support another, how churches are stepping up, how communities are stepping in to help their neighbors who are going through a difficult time like this. But Scripture promises us that God will never leave us or forsake us through some of the darkest times in our lives. And sometimes it could be sunny, could be a beautiful day with no fire or no flood, but we could still be going through a storm within our heart, where everything seems to be shaking and blowing. Romans 8:28 says, "So we are convinced that every detail of our lives, every single detail of our lives, is all woven together to fit into God's perfect plan, his plan for our community, our city, his plan for our church, of bringing good into our lives, for we are his lovers and each of us have been called to fulfill his designed purpose." We have a purpose. And God so loves us that he crafted us and prepared us and equipped us to walk in the reality of that purpose. Now, not far from where we live is a beautiful park. All kinds of trails that you can walk and bike through. There's baseball diamonds. There's soccer fields. There's tennis courts. Now, these tennis courts have recently been renovated, so they look beautiful. New lines and nets and everything is set up so that it can fulfill its purpose, right? Which is for people to be on it playing tennis. And so when the sun is out, you can rarely get in there because it seems like there's people constantly coming and going. But on Monday morning of this week, when I was on my way to the office to prayerfully plan for this week's message and to get to the church, it was still storming that day. It was just driving down rain. It had continued to rain and blow overnight. And so as I turned out of where we live, I looked at these tennis courts that are usually there in the sunshine, and this is what it looked like. And we'll show you a picture here. I pulled over just so that you could see what it looked like. The water had buried those tennis courts under about 3.5 feet of water. And now it was lake tennis. I mean, you couldn't even see what was there before. You can see the cage, as you see in the photos, as I kind of put my camera out the window of my car. But you know what? When the life, when the storms of our lives engulf us, it seems like, you know, in moments like we've just experienced or still coming through this 2-year pandemic, it seems like during those storms, sometimes our gifts and our talents and our purpose gets buried under those floodwaters. And we look out and we don't even know what used to be there. We have distant memories of what it used to look like. But you know what? The good news is that the waters will always subside and life and hope returns in this wonderful way. As a matter of fact, a couple of days later, the sun was out. They had drained off the water and people were back playing tennis again. But you know what? When we see the devastation of floodwaters, or when we see the pictures that I've just shown you, it's hard to imagine what's underneath it all. And the truth is that while you may be going through a storm today, we can take hope knowing that someone is coming out the other side of the storm that they've been facing. Interestingly enough, on that day that it was storming so badly and the rain was driving down, I had sent some pictures to my father to show him what the tennis courts looked like, as he was familiar with the area. And then he sent me back a picture of what it looked like out his window, and I'll show you that here. And so they had just gone through a similar kind of weather situation where it had poured rain and stormed through the night. But now that rain had stopped. You can see the little drops on the window, and this double rainbow filled the sky. And so while you may be going through some of the toughest times of your life, we can take hope knowing that God is seeing others through the storm they're in, and he will see you through the storm you're in. And whether, and I'm not talking just about weather, I'm talking about the storms that we face in our lives, financially, in our health. As a matter of fact, that very day, my father sent that picture to me, and this is emotional for me. He gave me an update on some tests that he had just undergone. And that very day, when those rainbows filled the sky, the doctor told him that his test results were clear. That after so many months battling serious health issues and going through treatment that was not comfortable, that God had brought him through that storm. I thank God for what he's doing, because we went through that storm together. He was in the center of it, but we were praying, we were believing. And so on a day like that, when that picture, you know, of those rainbows filled the sky, it really was just such an encouragement to me that God is always at work within our lives. And sometimes we need to continue serving our way through the storms. I know even in their church down there, my parents will do what I'm doing today and stand in front of a camera, encourage people to pray, encourage people to serve and to love God even through some of the most difficult times of their lives, because God has called us to weather those storms together. So what storms are keeping you off the court today? What storms are affecting your serve in your service to others? Is it a global pandemic? Is it a health issue, or maybe a broken relationship? Maybe you feel too old to do anything for God anymore, or too young to do anything. Maybe you're dealing with today, even as you watch this, the loss of property through natural disaster. Maybe you're trying to figure out how God is going to see you through all of what you're facing. Maybe someone's hurt you. Maybe someone slandered you or said things that were untrue of your character. What is it that has affected you, that has kind of buried some of those gifts under the waters of the storm that's kind of pushing in on you? Maybe some of you are so new to Jesus, you didn't even know there was a court to play on. You didn't know there was a purpose for your life, and you're just discovering that today. That's what this series is all about. That's why as a church, we're here to direct people to the purpose that God has called them to. That's what our Next Steps class is all about. It's helping people move forward. You know, I've discovered that the most effective way to navigate those storms is to continue serving my way through them. Sometimes the best way to push through crisis is to serve somebody else going through one as well. We've been fit together perfectly, different people, different gifts, but the same Spirit. And using our gifts to serve others isn't something we have to do. It's not something we're forced to do. It's something we get to do. It's a great privilege. And I honestly believe that sometimes the things that disappoint God the most are not the things that we do wrong, but it's the missed potential. It's the unused gifts in the lives of those he's created that have never been tapped into. They've never been used. Henry David Thoreau once said, "Most men live lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them." You know, when we fail to use our God-given gifts to their God-given potential, we too begin to live lives of quiet desperation. Here at Calvary, you know, we're blessed with a culture of contributors, not just a culture of consumers, which is so wonderful. And I would say to you, even on the weeks that you come to church, and maybe you're not serving on a team, you've not been scheduled that day to serve or to help, be watching for people that are new, people that are lost, people that are trying to find their way into this family that God has called us to. And go out of your way to make them feel at home, to smile, to put your arm around them, to make them feel like they too are welcome. Because there's opportunities to serve literally all around you. And they're not just here at the church, they're in your community. That's why we're trying to do what we can to help needy families in our public schools through the Dream Center. We're trying to serve and love people on the streets that are without shelter or provision. We can make a difference, but we need to make sure that our gifts, our purpose doesn't get buried under everything that has just beat upon us. That we remember what's underneath all of that. That once it's all drained down, that once again we can get back on that court and get doing what God has called us to do. Now, you may be saying, "Well, Pastor Steve, man, we've heard you say that a million times before." Well, you know what? I'm going to say it a million times more until it's heard, until somebody hears it for the first time and discovers that, man, I've got these gifts that God has given me. I have a great purpose. And when that light goes on, everything changes in their lives. Because you know what I've discovered? God's called me to do that, to continually remind people of the gospel, to continually remind them of the call that's upon their lives. Everybody needs to hear the good news. And the world is a big place, and we still got lots to do. So I'm going to keep saying it over and over. As a matter of fact, 2 Peter 1:12 says, "I won't hesitate to continually remind you of these truths, even though you are aware of them and are well established in the present measure of truth that you've already embraced." I'm going to keep reminding you to serve, to love, to grow in your faith. Sometimes we have to hear things many times before that light bulb clicks on and we hear his voice clearly. God created you with gifts, with talents. He's created you with purpose, and he wants you to live a fulfilled life here on this earth. He wants you to be a part of this grand plan. You know, not long after I started to follow Christ and I started to kind of regularly come to church, man, I was determined. I am not going to be a spectator. I'm not content with living a small life. I wanted to make a difference. So I began looking for opportunities within the church to serve. I served in the performing arts ministry. I served in the student ministry. I invested hours of my time volunteering. And you know what? I grew in my faith because of it. I grew in the relationships that I had with other people. Some of those relationships have lasted a lifetime. And that's a wonderful thing. And so each of you, we're all called to answer that call, but you have to be determined to press into it. And for me, I wanted to answer that call. I wanted to live the best possible life that I could. I didn't want to live a small life. I wanted to live a huge life. I wanted to live an open life where my existence made a difference in someone else's life. Living large, not living small. And I think sometimes it's easy to walk away from everything. Sometimes when you lose sight of the bigger picture. And people have struggled with that this year when things didn't look like they normally did. And so some began to kind of wander and found themselves going, you know, I just feel like I'm confused in my purpose. I've heard that over and over again. But every time someone meets Jesus for the first time, every time someone recommits their life to him, every time someone feels his presence in a service like this, online or here in the building, every time someone comes alive to the eternal, you have been a part of that. That's his kingdom coming in our lives and in the day that we're living in. We're the church. We are the church. Our team isn't an exclusive group or a private club. We've been called to be relentlessly inclusive and to carry out this work on the earth. Again, it's a great privilege that we have. What we are part of is bigger than the part we play on our own. And I'm telling you right now, if you want to grow in your faith, serve God, serve the people he's called you to serve, wherever he's put you. You know, I love Paul's challenge to stay at your post and to live a big life, even in the face of hardship. And here was a man who understood what hardship was all about. But this was his challenge in 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13. It says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Isn't that powerful? Calvary, open up your lives to those that God has surrounded you with. You know, there's three things that you can do with your life. You can waste it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. And honestly, the best use of it is to invest your life into something that will outlast it. You know, we know that Christ came to earth to do two things. We see that in Mark 10. Mark 10, 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He came to serve, he came to give his life. And serving like Jesus and using our gifts means being available. It means being used by God. And if you want to be used by God, if you want to serve him, you have to be willing in your life to be interrupted. You know, many people follow the steps of Jesus, but we can't miss the stops of Jesus. Some of his greatest miracles were on the way for him. He was on his way to do something else. When his life was interrupted, when somebody said, "Teacher, would you heal me? Would you help me?" Be willing to be interrupted. Be available. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful for the gifts God's given us, the gifts that we've been given to serve. So serving like Jesus and using our gifts means being available, means being grateful, but it also means being faithful. Now, what does that really mean, to be faithful? I'll tell you what it means to me. It means you don't give up. You keep on going. You don't quit in the middle of your assignment. You don't quit in the middle of the storm. You dig deeper during those times. And Jesus was faithful in fulfilling his service to the Father. He was going to see it through no matter what he faced. And he faced some pretty dark storms. But he did it because of the hope that was set before him. And that was you. John 17, 4 says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." He was committed to the Father that what he had started, he would accomplish and finish. I pray today that you would have the same tenacity, that you would dig in and you would not quit in the middle of the storm, and that you would know that each of us are navigating these times together. But we must use our gifts, our talents. We must understand the purpose that he's called us to and continue to move through. Now, This morning here at the church, I'm encouraging everyone to take this orange Next Steps card out of the seat pocket in front of them or in behind them, and to sign their name and their email, and then choose an area that interests you, an area that you'd like to serve. And I want to encourage you today at home to jump onto our website, calvary.ca, navigate down to the middle of the main page where it says Welcome Home. Click on that circle, write your name and your email, and then just write a little sentence below that lets us know that I'd like to take my next steps. I'd like to serve on Team Calvary, and someone will get in touch with you. We'd be happy to get you involved because I guarantee you, you will grow in your faith. And if you're struggling with the times that we're in, listen, serve someone else that's going through those same times because you can be a catalyst of change. Remember that while you're going through the darkest times, somebody else is coming out the other side. And that should give us hope to know that God isn't finished with us yet. Let's pray, Calvary. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the gifts and the purpose to which you've called us. Today, we commit ourselves to continue growing in you as we love you and serve your people. I pray today that you would strengthen those in our province who are facing very dark times and dealing with the damage of natural disaster through these floods. We pray for their comfort. We pray as a church that we would continue to partner with those that are helping to get them the help that they need. And I pray that we would also be equally committed to those that are experiencing storms within their mind. On the inside, emotionally, sometimes we don't always see it. But God, I pray that they would know that they're never forgotten, that we continue to pray, we continue to believe for miracles in your life. If that's you today and you feel like you're surrounded by those gray skies, you're in the middle of a storm that you just can't find your way out of, today in Jesus' name, he wants to guide you through it. If you'll put your life in his hands. And if that's you, perhaps you need to make a decision to follow him with everything you got to say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that you are my Savior. You are my King. I thank you that you've forgiven me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior and help me to navigate these storms and to help other people as they do the same. God, strengthen every person within our church. Every person that's watching this broadcast, and I pray that they would use everything you've gifted them with to further your kingdom and to spread the good news wherever they go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday.